Are you 8?
Thank God.
Were you getting bored on your ride in?
Worse, I was monitoring GMRS.
I saw there was a little action over there as I hopped in the car, but I didn't turn it on because, it'd be interesting. You know, get the weather report, that's for sure.
Honestly, those guys were not bad at all compared to what I've usually heard on there, but there was one guy who clearly knew what he was doing. He had a Yagi and proper GMRS, you know, equipment, and then there was another dude who's like, yeah, it's my Bofang, and it just sounded like garbage.
You know, for every two guys that are on a Bofang, one of them does sound good, though. Some of these guys must live next door to the repeaters.
Nobody say Bofang?
Boof Wang.
Good morning. Eric is on the radio.
Well, I just quickly grabbed the radio and said Bofang, not Boof Wang, but yeah, you're right. Good morning, gentlemen. W8RCY.
Good morning. We were just talking about the GMRS side, and I couldn't pinpoint why that one guy sounded so bad. He was good in the repeater. He was in the clear. I don't know if he was walking around or flailing his radio around, but it was like constant interference.
Well, when you try to talk in your basement, that's what happens.
So you have to hold a GMRS radio, regardless of the manufacturer, straight up and down, and you have to be by a window. That's the number one rule, according to 488 on GMRS.
Roger.
Roger, Dodger. Morning, Sean, go ahead.
Good morning, I just turned on my radio and all I heard was Roger, so I have no idea who's out here or what's going on.
The usual 7 a.m. crew. I think Donald had a nice clubhouse.
We're just out here causing trouble, Sean. How you doing this morning?
Not too bad, I guess. I got decent sleep last night. Not a lot of it, but what I got was uninterrupted. So now it's just off to the grind. Look at this, where we made it to Thursday in the first full week. Oh man, with all the time I had off in November and December, weird to work a full week. Still got to get through today and tomorrow, but we're getting there fast.
W8RCY, present and accounted for.
Yeah, at AGBF. Yeah, I hear you, Sean. I'm still convinced today's Friday, so I don't know how that's going to go tomorrow.
I'm right there with you, Dakota. I was very disappointed when I realized it was Thursday and I had to go into the office and I wasn't meeting you guys for lunch.
Man, there's a guy riding a bike. I think it's an e-bike. He's on DeQuinner, northbound, on DeQuinner. And he's got the most pathetic little, I can barely see him, light I've ever seen on that bike. He is asking for trouble. Anyhow.
Donald, I think that's you.
Oh, okay. Well, I stepped away for a second. I had to go fill up my coffee cup again. Sean is saying somebody on a bike on DeQuinder. I've seen people on Metro Parkway, Big Beaver, riding bikes, and especially on Metro Parkway in Macomb County, you got that bike path. No, they are actually on, Metro Parkway, and I'm thinking, that's 60 mile an hour roadway, and people are on there. There's no real shoulder there. And yet I've seen it happen in the summertime. So I don't know what's in the minds of some people. And yeah, those lights on some of these bicycles are getting smaller for sure. About 10 years ago, I almost bought myself one more bike, but I changed my mind. And yeah, looking at the lights, I was just really surprised how small they were. Oh, but they're LEDs. You can see for a bazillion miles. Yeah, right. Whatever. That's just not safe for me. I guess it's over to Anthony.
You're up, Dakota. Whether you can see them or not, who in their right mind is on a bike right now? I had to go back inside. I came out in a vest and a polo, which probably wasn't the brightest idea, but I went back inside. I grabbed an actual jacket.
Hey, when a bicycle is your only form of transportation, you get on your bicycle. But, man, people are nuts riding in the street in the dark and not being lit up. And these e-bikes, they go fast enough that they're dangerous, but slow enough that they're dangerous. It's wild. I can't believe people aren't getting killed on them all the time.
Well, I haven't been lately, but I do an awful lot of biking. And, there's, with regards to the people riding on a road when there's a perfectly usable trail, those are usually your hardcore bikers, you know. They're like, I'm entitled to a third of the outside lane, and by God, I'm going to take it. Because, you know, the path's made for strollers, baby buggies, and bikes that, you know, are going, you know, 10 miles an hour. Yeah, I'm a true biker. I'm going to be out there, you know, doing my massive 18 to 20 miles an hour in the on the road. Okay. I've done that. I've been on the I'm right in between. I'm faster than your average biker, but I'm a long shot from the from the guys that are really good at it. I can run a pretty steady 16, 17 miles an hour, you know, over distance. And the good guys, they're breaking 20 easy. So it's nuts. I'm very careful about how I ride. I either go to the rail, the trails, you know, Paint Creek, and Pollyann, and Macomb Orchard, and others, and put up with, you know, the slow traffic and the walkers and all that stuff. It's not that bad. Or I'm very careful on the road. I take streets and paths and routes that I know are going to keep me in a relatively safe area and try to stay off the crazy roads, like 16 miles. I remember one time I did a ride. It was an organized ride back in 2020 with this group at Michigan Gravel Finders. And a whole part of the thing was on North Territorial Road. I don't know if you've ever been out there, but that is a fast, twisty, hilly kind of throughway down there. And man, I'll tell you what, I was butt puckered the whole damn time. Crazy stuff. So 16 into Quinter here. Gotta get a coffee. That's my goal. Anyhow, Donald, then over to Dakota.
There was a period of time about 15 years ago, I was commuting from Auburn Hills to Detroit every day on the Smart Bus. And early in the morning when you're going through Bloomfield Hills, you know, from basically downtown Pontiac into downtown Birmingham. Anybody who knows that terrain, it's pitch black. There's very little or no lighting, and there's a lot of terrain. And you see these guys out on these bikes, and they look like, they're in their little cycling uniforms and their little skinny outfits. And there's like maybe 50 or more cyclists. And it looks like a mini Tour de France going south into Detroit from basically Pontiac, I guess, is where like St. Joe Hospital is out there, the big hospital. And they go all the way into downtown Detroit on cycles. And as you're going by, you've got to clear out because they're taking up the entire right lane of Woodward heading south. and the speeds, you know, car speeds are 55, I would say. I think that's what the speed limit is on Woodward through there. And these guys obviously aren't doing 55, but, you know, they're in this huge pack, and they're just doing it every day. And sometimes in the morning, they're not well lit or well reflected. You know, some guys wear reflective tape on their clothing, but, yeah, that is just a sight to see. Dakota, maybe?
I thought about getting another bike, maybe a gravel bike or a mountain bike, but where I live, there's no trails, but you would better, because then you could just back road all over the place, but the amount of liquor bottles that I see in the ditches, it's kind of concerning, so I'm still on the fence about it, but I know I need to start getting a little bit more exercise and a beautiful countryside to ride in, but that's my main concern, is how many idiots are on the road.
Dakota, buy a gravel bike if you buy one. I have a mountain bike that I used to ride a ton, and I'm in a similar situation to you are. I live 45 minutes from every good mountain bike trail in town and never get out. So if you got dirt roads, get a gravel bike, and you just run that thing around town. And I'd like to think that those liquor out windows at night, not in the middle of the day or in the afternoon, so you should be okay. But people like to drink all day, so who knows?
It's always afternoon somewhere. Yeah. So I second the get a gravel bike. That's what I have. I had a mountain bike, but it was a hardtail. Non-shock. This was a early 90s mountain bike. And the one I got now is a, it's still completely, you know, no suspension. And, but it's got the big tires. I run them tubeless so I can run them a little mushy. That way they take, you know, it takes up all the, raw fundulations and all that stuff. And gravel bikes are great because, they'll do the city as well as the, you know, even single tracks, you know, to a degree, as long as they're not, you know, too crazy. But I ain't going to be doing any mountain biking, any crazy stuff, so the gravel bike works great. And like I say, I can do anything with it. I can get on the streets with it. Over by you, Anthony, I really enjoy the riding. You stay off Jefferson and stay off Mac, and as long as you do that, you know, Kirchville and all the other side streets and all that are just a wonderful ride, you know. So it's not a lot. You have to go back and forth quite a few times, but, you know, you get 20 miles in. But it's really nice and enjoyable riding, you know, all through the points. You know, where I'm at is like, you know, I gotta get over to, like, the Royal Oak, Ferndale, Birmingham area. Once I get over to those areas, the riding's pretty good, but kind of sucks getting over there, which I'm only a couple of miles. If I want to go the most direct route, I could be in the Royal Oak, you know, just a hop, skip, and a jump. And from there, it's a little bit more bike conscious. You still got to be careful. Still a lot of cars and a lot of bikes, and they said, you know, you got car drivers that are ridiculously anti-bike, and then you got bikers that are ridiculous, period. And, you know, it's those ridiculous car drivers that are real just mentally touched, you know, with bikes, as if they don't have any right to the road, you know. And then you got these guys on the bike that are, you know, they're usually old men like me. They're usually in their 60s, and they're wearing the full, like, you know, suit with their junk, you know, practically hanging out. And they're on their, you know, $4,000 Trek, and, you know, and by God, they're entitled to that lane, and they're just dicks about it. So they perpetuate it. So between the asshole cage drivers and the asshole old men on bikes, it's never gonna find a perfect symbiosis. I don't know. Donald? Through Grosse Pointe, Birmingham, Royal Oak, Ferndale, probably a couple other neighborhoods. Everybody's doing these bike lanes now, cutting, you know, traffic lane down. Instead of a three-wide road, you have a two-wide road because you got the bike lanes and all this and that. And I was on Jefferson over the summer down there for the Grand Prix, and I was coming in off the north end of the track there, and on Jefferson between basically downtown Renson area out to Belle Isle, that whole section of the roadway there, they've got two lanes of traffic taken out now for buses and bicycles both. And, yeah, I was like, what lane am I supposed to be in to make a right turn to get on to, you know, get down to Rivard to pick up my credentials, which was about a half a mile north of the track, and that was just ridiculous. So now you got all these bike lanes that you got to deal with, and like, to just add on to what Sean was saying, you know, car drivers don't like bicyclists, and you know, and all this and that. This whole confusion now with these bike lanes, and there's one thing I've noticed is that there's just no consistency. Every city or municipality does it their way. It doesn't seem to be universal setting these things up. That's just my two cents, and I'm a non-bicyclist. I haven't been on a bicyclist in probably 40 years. Since my 20s. Anthony, I think?
I'll take Dakota's turn. But, yeah, Sean, there is a ton of good riding down by me, and the bike lanes are interesting, and the bike lane for where you were saying, Donald, on Woodward, that goes all the way from Alter, I'm sorry, not on Woodward, on Jefferson. Goes all the way from Alter all the way to in front of the Renson. There are bike lanes on Jefferson. So it's good if you're a cyclist. It's annoying if you're a driver, so like you were saying. But I'll throw it over to Dakota.
I'm going to make this one my last. I'm at work, got to get inside. My two cents on the whole bike thing, I think it's totally backwards that we're supposed to yield, drivers are supposed to yield to bikers. I've got no problem with bikers being on the road, but being the, tiny, small object that would easily get ran over, I think they should be the ones that yield. Maybe that would be beneficial and make them a little less stupid. But when I'm on a road on a bike, whether it's a dirt road, I'm always cognizant cars, because even when I'm driving, people can barely do that. So a bike is a lot harder to see and a lot easier to run over than another vehicle. But like I said, I'm going to clear out of here. Maybe I'll catch you guys later. If not, have a good day. And Sean, Anthony, Donald, you're more than welcome. I'll keep you guys updated on tomorrow. I should be able to make that happen around noon, 1 o'clock. All right, guys. NADDF, I'm clear.
See you later. All right, let me see if I got it. All righty then. So I didn't know that the bike trails ran on Alters. You could do the point and then get all the way downtown relatively safely. I'm still, even with bike lanes on main roads, Jefferson's a zoo in the points. I would not ride Jefferson through the points. I've had more confrontations on Jefferson, and then the sidewalks stuck completely there, so you can't ride those. You're not even supposed to. So I'll stay off that. Mac is the same way. Mac is just crazy. So I would take, there's all sorts of great roads, Kercheval or Charlevoix or there's any number of ways to get through the point. The main drag, Kercheval, being the most obvious, but lots of great ways to get to the point. And then, I would drop down maybe to Jefferson and grab this bike trail you speak of. So interesting. I know there's been a lot of bike rides. Donald mentioned the one that run from Pontiac down to Detroit. I see frequently Detroit's becoming increasingly a bike destination. I see calls for rides down there all the time.
And I've not done a lot of riding down there. I've done a little, mostly in the Garmin district and stuff, you know, south of Ferndale. But not a whole lot. A little bit of Palmer Park and that, just, but at the old houses. But for the most part, I don't go south of 8 Mile Road. Not for any particular reason, you know. Not because where, it's more because my routes and the miles I want to cover in any given day generally don't put me south of there. But I'll think of that a try. That's altered to downtown bike path thing. That sounds like it could be interesting. Who gets it? I thought I was giving it to Dakota, so I guess I'll be giving it to Anthony.
Yeah, it's not bad, and it's, like I said, it runs the whole distance. One day when you're down visiting your grandkids, you should take Jefferson downtown to take the long way home and then come back up 75 and go home just to scout it. But I've ridden that a few times, not all the way from home, but like during the marathon, when I had friends running the marathon, I always bring my bike down there and ride around and see them in all different spots. But and I stay off Jefferson on a bike. And I think people are crazy that ride their bikes recreationally on Jefferson. I've almost been hit by cars jumping the curb while running on Jefferson. So I stay off of it as much as possible. Even I try to stay off of it on the sidewalk, for that matter, because people just aren't paying attention. You can get so many miles through those neighborhoods if you want. You know, in my area, in the woods, the distance between Jefferson and Mac is like varies between a mile and a half and a mile and three quarters. So if you just ride back and forth on some of those streets up and down east and west, you can get 20 miles going up and down, you know, 14 blocks. It's not that big of a deal. You can get mileage very easily. Over to you, Donald.
Yeah, just waiting on the identifier. For me, the Jefferson thing, yeah, you're right about it starts there at Alter, Maryland area, right there by the Grosse Pointe Woods, Grosse Pointe Farms, City Hall, and services building there. But when you get downtown, beyond Belle Isle, they got brick pavers in there now, and on the bike lanes. I noticed that in the last couple of years since the Grand Prix is downtown and the credential office is up at the DNR building. So you got to go up Jefferson a little bit or through Atwater, whatever it takes. But yeah, there's a lot of brick pavers now going on in that area. That I've noticed, but that's really no fun to ride on a bike, whether you're on a mountain bike or a cycling bike. But so that's about the only thing I've noticed in the last 2 years downtown with bicycling. Don, go ahead.
On a related note, but not necessarily the same, I picked up a suspension fork for my bike, and it's kind of a very weird one. If you have a chance to look it up, it's made by a company called LAUF, L-A-U-F, and it's a carbon fiber, like, leaf spring kind of a thingy. So it's not really for, like, mountain biking. It's for gravel. You know, it takes out, you know, like, it just, come on, what's going on? Truck is sitting here waiting to make a left turn into my complex, and there's this truck on Grosbeck going about 20 miles an hour. So I got that, which we'll see how that's going to work. I got to get that put on my bike, and I got to get out more. I was biking a lot. I mean, almost every day, almost never less than 20, 25 miles. And it was great. I mean, I just really, really enjoyed it. And I just can't get back on the bandwagon. First of all, I packed on about 30 pounds. So, you know, have about two to, you know, one to two bikes over my ideal weight. You know, you got these weight weenies, they're measuring everything. Oh, I'm going to go to titanium screws because I'll save 2 grams, you know. Stop eating a cheeseburger and take a dump, you fat. You know what? That's still going to get you a lot more than them titanium screws. Anthony?
Yeah, people do count weight, and at 99% of the people's cycling abilities, it really doesn't matter. But hey, I just pulled into the office. I am going to catch up with you guys this afternoon. I'm going to be hopping in the car probably in a few hours. I got to make a trip out to Milford, and then if anybody's listening, I'll call out and we'll chat while I'm driving, but otherwise I will catch you on the evening drive or tomorrow. I'll see you guys later. K-E-A-R-U-H, and I'll be clear.
Okay, Anthony, have a good day. I'm going to start getting going here because I've got to make up for a chiropractic appointment I missed on Monday, and physical therapy is today. So, and there's a free sweatshirt, T-shirt giveaway today, so I got to hit that. And then I got to get some out of the UPS store to drop off a package because the local drop box is no longer where it used to be, a half a block north of me that I could walk to. And I ain't walking down to 12 Mile, and they don't even take the size box that I can carry now. Everything's down to 16 by 9 by 3, and this near that size. So it's, I got to find a UPS store, and I think there's one at 11 and Ryan by the Ryan Grill there. All right, everybody have a good day, those who are listening. And Sean, you have a good day as well at the office. And we'll be monitoring throughout the day on and off while I'm in and out. W8RCY.
All right, catch everybody later. Walking in the door. W8RCY.
We now return to our regularly scheduled programming.
KCMJR, Mobile. AKPP Mobile.
KKKKO. I'm the same way, heading to Brighton.
Hey, stranger. I tried calling you a couple times yesterday, and every time I heard you on the radio, I was busy doing something, either working, driving, talking to mama, whatever. So how goes it? Long time no talk to you.
I jumped in after I was doing a job, and then I was on my way to my meeting last night, but I forgot my work phone inside of a client, so I had to go back and get in there and get it, and I ended up being late.
Oh, very good. So, not too much been going on in my life, so I bought myself a Christmas present, and it finally came, so I've been kind of putting that together. I bought an outside pellet stove with all glass around it. It's really kind of pretty.
all stainless steel. It was kind of a higher end one because I wanted it. And so I've been putting that together. That's been kind of a fun project. And radio-wise, I've been playing around with my little SDR, and that's been kind of fun, too.
Yeah, I got the antenna connector, the UHF to PL-259, and I got the power cable. So now all I got to do is find me one of those little plug-in cigarette lighter things like I did before, put a 20-amp fuse in it, and then hook it up to the antenna and fly away.
Hey, Tom, let me call you back. I got a work call I got to take. NAKPB.
K-E-4-Z-Y-2, that last station that just signed. Sounds like you're slightly off frequency for some reason.
Are you talking about me, Kilo Charlie, and Kilo Julie Oscar?
QSLRAT, this is K-E-4-Z-Y-2, Joe Clinton Township.
Q, Kilo Chili, Kilo Juliet Oscar, this is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike, and I'm right here in Richmond, so I'm only pushing 5 because I'm close to the tower.
QSL that, yeah, I'm on the, what is it, the 448625 right here.
Well, Richmond is 2225. 442-225. Warrant is 600. So you're probably on the warrant. 108. You're probably on the Mount Clemens one.
That should be the UHF Mount Clemens, I believe. 443-625. I guess that's the receive frequency and the transmit 448.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about the Mount Clemens tower, you know, but I don't use it all that often because it sounds kind of tinny.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm closest to. That's why it comes in so good. You got several bars on, but I just thought I'd wonder, maybe I should listen to the other frequencies that I can receive on and see if you sound clear, because on this one, it sounds like you're almost like a KC off or something, frequency-wise.
Well, I got it. It's auto shift, so, and I was running 5, but I just bumped it up to 25 because I'm getting further away. And I haven't gotten close yet to 600 warrant. But yeah, when I go on the Mount Clemens one, or I come through the Mount Clemens one, I sound really weird. Same thing with the Romeo. Romeo sounds like I'm talking in a tin can.
Well, that's the one I'm on now. I'm on that one now, Romeo, and you do sound a little bit like you're in a can, and still sound like there's like a little distortion in each word or so, like it's like when somebody's just off a little bit frequency-wise slightly.
Let me try to have a tower. Give me a second.
Definitely got your modulated volume up. You're a little bit louder. And maybe it's just me, but my speaker's usually pretty clear over here, my external speaker for anybody. So I usually hear them just like they're being, you know, the way it should sound. But for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's just the types of radio or the repeater or something. You know how, you probably have heard one time or another somebody sounds like they're off by a minor frequency alteration.
Well, I just dropped the power down. Maybe I had too much going out. How about now?
Still a little bit of noise in the background of each word. Like it's maybe it's just the types of radio or the repeaters or the propagation nowadays with the weather being so cold. It's hard to say. No big deal. Very readable. you know, very readable. Every word's there, no dropout, no major distortion, just a little bit of noise there that comes with most of the words that, you know, you probably heard somebody that may be an off by frequency, you know, a KC or whatever, K, you know, just off a slight bit frequency-wise, and it just kind of had a little of this distortion right along with them. I think you know, right?
Yeah, before I was kind of, I don't know if I was garbled or what, but I took my mic apart and opened up the little hole a little bit more. I try not to talk too loud into the mic, try to pass the voice over the mic and not into the mic. You know, I've been doing this since, what, 98, but every radio is different, and I do a melting, so I got to stop broadcasting my voice and just allow it to flow.
Whatever you did, that sounded the best so far since I heard you on all three repeaters. So that sounds pretty good right there, whatever you did. I wouldn't need to change anything. But 7-3 for now, just thought I'd jump in, just didn't know if it was me or my ears or the propagation or the repeaters or what, but I don't think a person's a good ham if they don't let somebody know there might be something odd, you know, even if it's just a frequency adjustment that may have to do. But anyhow, have a good day. You take care, and don't be too long out in the cold. Pretty chilly out there. KE4 ZYQ will be clear after you.
Critiquing helps. Just makes for a better ham, that's how I see it. K4ZYQ, 73 from KJO.
KF8BOT, I'll be monitoring.
KF8BOT, W8FSM, afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Eric out of Holly. I was just settling down, listening to 10 meters, and the gray line over Europe is pretty much eating that up now. So, switching over to 70 centimeters.
Yeah, I think I heard you before in Holly, and I think I've seen your icon on APRS there, so. I haven't talked to you yet. And, name here is Fred up in Grand Blanc.
Good to meet you, Fred. I actually was just up there yesterday to the little Chinese carryout up there. And I work up at Great Lakes National Cemetery, so I'm up that way all the time. That whole lake, you know, 10 minutes north of me.
Oh, I grew up in Holly, and my parents still live in Holly, so I know where you're at. Well, if you work at the cemetery there, you, if you're there now, you can look towards the south and east and see the repeater up on the hill there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm just enjoying my lunch break today and figured I'd hop on here for a little bit.
Well, I have breakfast till 9:30, quarter to 10, so I guess I'll take a lunch here a little bit, but I haven't taken my lunch break yet.
Do you do anything with the Genesee County Ham Club?
With GCRC, no. I went to one of their meetings 2 months ago. I think it was November's meeting I went to, but no, I don't.
I was just wondering. I've been involved with Lapeer County, and they're a pretty good group, but it's also nice to, you know, have a unit or a group a little bit closer.
I don't know. Lapeer's president kind of... Oh, wait, I can't make comments about him. He's not listening on this one. He's missing an order on VHF, though. But I don't know. The president of the Lapeer Club, man, he's a shady fella.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting people out there. That's where I actually did my class for my technician and then upgraded to a general last in November. At one of the testings.
Oh, yeah. Scott's a good friend, so I can say that about him. But but I just realized he isn't listening on UHF. He only listens over on the VHF side. So otherwise, I'd be getting a Slack message from him.
I think it both of us would. He and his dad, they have both helped me out a lot in both answering questions and just helping me with my setup here.
Oh, gotcha. It's very doubled. So how long have you guys been in LA and worked there at Great Lakes?
I've been out here just about, well, 8 years now, last month, actually. And I absolutely love working out here.
It is quite quiet and peaceful there the few times I've been there. My uncle's there. My wife's grandfathers are there. So I've been there a few times. Some other friends are there.
Yeah, if you ever happen to be out that way during the day, swing into the admin office and holler at me.
Well, I think all that, I don't know if it's all done yet for my father-in-law, but I know because my mother-in-law passed, and they're going in the wall once he passes, I guess.
Yeah, eventually, hopefully years from now, that's probably where I'm going to be too, so got to take care of the place a little bit.
Make sure it's right for you in a number of decades at a time.
That's what I've always thought, but those decades just continue to roll past.
That's the end game goal, they tell me.
Now I'm just wishing I would have gotten into amateur radio. Yeah, like 20 years ago, because I'm just having a blast on here.
Well, cool. So we used to have, you must live in town, you live in town then in Holly then. So when I started kindergarten at Patterson, and we had at the middle school, so as you're going there at Sherman, we had a ham club, and we had a satellite set up and all that. So I remember in sixth grade, that's where I got exposed to it. We would have the weekly club meeting there, and Use a satellite station to talk on the satellites and HF and all that sort of stuff. So I got exposed to it really early there in Holly.
Yeah, I just live a few houses down from Lakeside Park, and my boys went to Holly. They started out at the middle school when we moved up here, but I grew up down in White Lake and then moved down to Kansas for about 15 years for work, and it's a nice little area.
Yeah, they haven't had the club in a long time, actually. Even before I graduated, when I was in high school, it kind of, before I even graduated, and I graduated in 2000, the ham club kind of fizzled for the school side of things. But that's how I got exposed to it early. And been doing this ever since.
Yeah, it'd be great if they did something like that again. I was up in Midland about a month ago, and their high school, they've got a massive Step IR and some Yaggies, but I don't know if they actually are active, but that's a really nice setup.
So I believe they are, because I think, Max, they did some ballooning project a year or two ago, maybe. I remember them doing that in the club there. So it was kind of tied in. Their ham club did something with the, and they launched a balloon there with the science class at school.
Yeah, that is really cool. I actually just saw a presentation over in Lapeer about 2 months ago on the ballooning aspect, and that just seems really neat.
I was part of a chase crew for one back in I think it was 2000. We launched. It was called Maybell, and it had, besides an APRS data tracker, there was an ATV analog video downlink. And, so it got launched, I want to say up near Flushing or something, and then it landed just south by Milford when all was said and done. I have photos somewhere I took for when we were doing that, but yeah, that was kind of fun. We've toyed about sending, before we got been doing the microwave grant and such, toyed about the idea of doing a Seemann balloon in space, or near space, and sending a DMR or a P-25 repeater up on it, but other to-do items on the list have come before that.
Yeah, there's always other things that keep popping up, dang it.
So the repeater here on the owner of it, but it's part of the Central Michigan Emergency Network, or WHCMN, and we've got repeaters all around the state and a microwave network as well, and we got a grant for it a couple of years ago to really kick it off hard, and been pretty much busy. Any free time has been busy with that side of part of the hobby, doing the microwave network that links all the repeaters together and the APRS and the packet networks and the, yeah. There's definitely many different parts of the hobby. Because I'm a general, so I've got my, got the HF up and got my work all states and my triple play and all sorts of other paper I've gotten finally here in the last couple of years, doing a lot of that. Most of my, I got my general back in 08 or 09, but really didn't go big in HF until like the last 5-6 years. So before that, I pretty much lived above 50 megahertz and was perfectly happy for 15 years.
Yeah, I'd like to get more involved, like with the Central Michigan Emergency Network, things like that. Like I said, I'm very new into the hobby, just got my general back in November and still setting up my own workstation here. But, yeah, I've just been trying to reach out and see what I can get involved with and, yeah, how to be able to contribute a little bit.
So, the Pier folks are pretty good people. I like them. I'm a member of Lapeer. One of my offices is based out of Lapeer, so I'm over that way a bit. I went to their field day too. Here this year, and I know. the GCRC, I think they did field day this year as well too, but. I've only been to one of their meetings.
Yeah, I'm a member out at Lapeer, and I might have even seen you out at Field Day this year. I was there for probably about 4, maybe 5 hours total, just because of other things that I had going on, and at the time I was still just getting into the hobby. And so I'm at most of their meetings, and it's a good group of people. I like them. You know, it's interesting with all the different personalities, but they're a very welcoming group.
Oh, for sure. I like how their classes they do and the things they do to get new people into the hobby and things is commendable for a group like that. You don't see too many groups around here doing that. It's nice nowadays, I should say. In the early days, the Fenton Farah Club, the FARA Club, which isn't no longer around, I actually, even though we had the club in the school, we had, I didn't get my license until 2000, and it was because we had an Elmer in the Fenton Club, and they had classes, and because back then you had the technician, you'd take your technician and your novice to get your no code. So it wasn't just 35 questions, it was, I don't know, 50 or 60, I can't remember now. But you had to take two different elements, the novice element and the technician element, to do a no code tech. Yeah, I came in as a silly, the old part's called silly no code, but I do CW now, but. But that's how I learned, was going through the club like that. But you don't see too many clubs like that nowadays doing it, so it's really nice that Lapeer is doing that and helping. And I hear that when different class graduates and that, you hear, you know, see the call signs and hear them on the air. W8FS.
Yeah, I went through their class and took my tech back in June. And then this fall, two of my friends who were kind of interested also took their tech class and both got their licenses, I think December. I'm not totally positive if it was December or November, but it was one of those real recently, and they do a heck of a good job. My next step is I want to learn CW. KF8DOT.
Well, there was a, I think it's CW Ops is what I used, and then they had weekly little sprints for like an hour, so that really helped. It helped me with my CW stuff. I did for the ARRL 10-meter contest here a couple weeks ago, I did QRP CW only. So that was interesting. I'm waiting to see how that score is for that. Or how the score I did for that one was. But, pretty big into FT8 and FT4. But, needed to do the triple play, you had to have a WASP and CW, work all state CW, voice, and digital. And so I figured to do all that, I had to learn the CW, so that's what I did for a couple years now.
Yeah, that 10-meter weekend was pretty awesome. I made some good contacts. I really enjoyed that. Well, Fred, I need to get back inside. I hope to see you at one of these Lapeer meetings, maybe, or else somewhere else around. I'm trying to get my Wires X set up so that I can play on that side of the hobby, but running into issues. But you have a great day, sir, and it was a pleasure talking to you. KF8 BOT, I will be 73.
Yes, Pickard. WFS.
NAWGL. W8FU, NAWGL. W8FU, NAWGL. NAWGL, sir.
Somebody get let out of class for good behavior today? W8RCY.
KE8PFM.
KE8RUH.
I'm about, what am I, little bit north of Sterling Heights in Clinton Township, if you're familiar with that area.
Oh, okay, right on. Yeah, no, that's the Mount Clemens repeater. Is that the one you're using?
I was going to say, you're probably familiar with the network more than you are the location. No, I'm not going through Fred's KC at UMP. I'm on Sean's FBI repeater, 26.
Oh, nice. What what did you say your call sign was? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's November 8, Delta Bravo Foxtrot.
Is that a manager call sign, or how long have you had your license?
It's a vanity. I was Kilo Echo 8 Victor Juliet Tango when I got tech Easter of 2022, I think it was. And then when I got general, I got the vanity call.
Very cool, very cool. Well, congratulations on the general. Obviously very late, but that's pretty cool. Have you done any HF communications yet?
I appreciate it. I wish I would have done it sooner, like when I got tech, because it seems like there's a lot more you can do on the HF side of things. Yeah, I took about a year off after I had my third kid, so I didn't have a whole lot of time, and unfortunately made a horrible decision to sell a bunch of my gear, all my HF gear pretty much, so I'm just getting back into it. I was pretty heavy into POTA. I really like getting out and operating portable, so now I just got a... got a Yaesu 710 just on my desk at the house and a long wire in the backyard, but as soon as this weather starts to warm up a bit, I plan on getting back out in the parks. You have your general, you doing HF stuff?
Yeah, actually, I when I got my tech, I also got my general, and I think I bit off more than I could chew, just quickly got into HF radio. I got a Yaesu for this. E5RV Junior, I believe, in the backyard, but it's really kind of a crappy setup. I don't have it very high up in the air. It's not resonant at all, and I think I have entirely too much back cable. Right now, it's not even up, so I've had my roof redone just recently.
Okay, you're getting a little noisy. I got most of that. But, yeah, look at the wires. Portable verticals are pretty cool. I've got it's called a Shelligans MC750 that the guys in my group really enjoy and have been using quite a bit because it's so easy to deploy, and it does, it'll do 40 through 6, I think. So it's a pretty cool setup, but I really, really like the long wires. I've got a Nelson NFET half-wave. It does 80 to 10, and it's literally just 130-foot wire. Fed by coax and up into a tree. So if you've got the space for it, I can't recommend those enough because it seems like they hear everything, and I usually can work. If I can hear a station, I usually can work it, and I don't really go over 50 watts.
Yeah, the more I look into it, the more I get really interested in the new style antennas, trying to make one myself like a... by the way, the noise, I'm actually right in between the Holly and the Smith repeater, so I might end up having to jump over to the other repeater here in a second.
You're hanging in there. You're copyable. You just got a lot of noise with you, but every now and then you'll pop through in the clear, so you're fine. I'll let you know when you probably should switch if you haven't already. I don't know. The antenna thing, I like cutting and tuning the wires, but I've not wrapped the toroid yet, and I don't think I really know how, and I feel like it would be a little bit of trial and error and practice to get that right. So I haven't gone that too far into it, but yeah, that's probably my favorite thing about HF is messing with antennas and tuning them.
Yeah, yet again, it's probably attempting to fight off way more than I can chew when it comes to making the antenna. Right now, like I said, I have that G5RV here that I can't be picking stuff was reaching all the way out to, I forget where it was in California. I think that was the longest communications that I made from my basement with that antenna. But I just had a whole bunch of noise on. Really, my modulation is really, really quiet. And I think I have too much coax wound up. I still get out without knowing it. So I got blasted by it, that's for sure.
Kind of a never-ending journey where there's always something else to try, so don't be scared to give it a shot. I recently just taught myself how to make my own coax, so I bought a crimper from DX Engineering, and I buy their RG8X because it's so cheap by the and then I've been making my own cables, and that's made installs a lot smoother, kind of more custom, cleaner, you know, the right lengths, things like that, so... Actually, the first time I did it was to mount a antenna on my truck in a fake pocket, and after I did it, I was hooked. I'm like, man, there's so many more possibilities of running cable now that I don't have this big end on the end of it. So that's, you said that you might have too much cable. That's an option. You might be able to just cut it, re-terminate it, and then make yourself a little jumper cable and then have the right length cable for your antenna.
Definitely looking forward to getting back into that as soon as I can. But you said similar situation with multiple kids at the house and just work and everything else going on. It's kind of tough to put in the hours that aren't like in the middle of the night. You know, that's usually when a lot of the tinkering happens for me. But I am probably going to end up with you. I'm actually on a 5-watt, I'm at 60 right now, so I might end up losing it before I get split repeater.
I copied most of that. Yeah, I'm the same way. I got, you know, the young kids, and it's tinkering half when my wife's home and is, you know, nice enough to let me screw around with the radio stuff. But you're hanging in there with a 5-watt. You're definitely getting pretty rough. So if you want to clear until you think you can hit the next one, that's fine. I got about another 30-minute drive here, so I'll be monitoring for a little while here.
She knows I hit that flip machine right after here on the Holly. They pretty much overlap. Any idea why?
Yep. Actually, just... transferred over to the Flint repeater. I'm coming up on 6975 right now, so I should have a signal to that repeater.
Oh yeah, you're clean now.
Yeah, so I'm starting a few miles. I'm coming up to 475 on the north side. But after Flint, you can hit the Bird machine. I don't remember the frequency on that one, if you have that one programmed.
Is that also part of the Central Michigan Emergency Network link systems?
Yeah, that's one of the link repeaters. It's just outside Bertrand.
KF8CUL.
KF8 station, go ahead.
Well, I just thought I would jump in and check in with you guys. I am new to ham as of November, got my tech in general together. I was listening to you guys talk and just got set up here with a dual band and an attic mount antenna. I'm just glad to be joining and making sure you guys can hear me.
Well, congrats. You sound, I don't know what kind of equipment you're using, but it's working good. You're in the repeater nice and clean, and yeah, welcome to the hobby.
Great, thank you. Yeah, this again, KF8CUL, Mark over in Troy, Michigan. I've been working a little bit with the Hazel Park Amateur Club, and Len over there, 88FK, and learning a lot from those guys, but, you know, just looking to branch out, see what else is going on out there.
Okay, cool. You've got NADBF here, Dakota. I don't know if it's an actual club or what, but I'm associated with the Who Cares Amateur Radio Group. We're over here kind of in Macomb County area. Actually, we are in Macomb County. Usually hang out on the FBI or the CMN network.
I lost that second half there. You said you hang out on the FBI or the other repeater. What was the other one?
Central Michigan. It's a pretty robust network that runs pretty much all throughout the state.
I've seen that on the internet. Yep, for sure. They look pretty large, so that sounds like they got a good setup there, very well put together.
Is that the MI5 or whatever network? Is that what that one is?
I'm not super well versed on the subsets of it, but I believe that is tied into it. If Fred's listening, he can elaborate on the ones out there.
Oh yeah, that's funny. You said Fred a couple of times, and it just dawned on me. That's Fred Moses, my dad's old computer buddy from the Fenton area. I think he's running most of that stuff. At least I see his name all over the place on their website.
Yeah, Fred Moses. I don't remember his call. I don't talk to him a whole lot out here. I know he's a busy guy. I'm usually hanging out talking to W8FU, Sean. He's the godfather of the FBI network. And then I know him and Fred work pretty closely together on some projects. So between those two, there's a hell of a network.
Yeah, hey, I'm pulling into a restaurant to meet up with some people right now, so I'm going to jump off, but I did want to say congratulations. I didn't catch the full call sign. I think it was KF8 Quebec Uniform Lima, I think. But congratulations on your tech. Hopefully we can all hear from you soon. This is going to be 73. It's from me. I'll be clear on your final.
Very good. Yeah, again, that's KF8CUL, as in see you later, Charlie Uniform Lima, Mark. And, tech and general. So I'm, going to join up with you guys on the HF here one of these days once the weather warms up and I get some equipment and antenna set up. But I think I'm going to just start to figure this stuff out on the 2-meter and the 70-centimeter. I got my hands full with that, and I got a ICOM 2730, which is very nice, and then the Slim Jim up in the attic, so, and that's getting out there pretty good.
No, I definitely caught it that time, KF8CUL, Charlie Uniform Lima. You guys have a nice day, 73s, KE8WOG, clear.
KE8WOT 73 from NADBF. And Mark, I was going to ask you. You sound real good, so I was wondering what you were using. I think you're off in the right direction with an ICOM. I've got a 5100 that I'm on right now in the truck. I absolutely love their mobile rig. They always sound good, and you're no exception. You sound great. I'm not familiar with that antenna, but I am impressed how well it sounds being in an attic. I'm not sure how far you are from. From a repeater, what repeater you're going into? You said you're in Troy, I believe. So I would assume you're going into the 2.6, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, let me look that up real quick, because it's always a little bit of a challenge thinking that through what I plugged into the computer or the what I programmed into the radio. I thought it was set up for the Mount Clemens repeater, which would be quite a haul there, but not unreasonable.
It's doable. I would not be surprised if you're going into the KCA-UMP, I believe 443625. If you're going into the Warren FBI repeater, it's 44265. Either way, it sounds good. I don't know if you've done anything by switching to Warren.
are going to get home on Clemens because you're pretty much full flighting. So you're doing good. Welcome. There's so many different things you're going to find. I don't know if you've gone down the rabbit hole of All-Star Nose and all that fun stuff yet, but that's a whole other subset of tech area, fun stuff like that you can do from home and meet with and kind of link up to repeaters that you can't hit with RF. So another thing to think about, what kind of coax did you end up running up into your attic?
Well, you know, I know it's the it's called KMR 400, not LMR 400. So, in fact, I think it was slightly off brand from the expensive stuff. It was like half the price. It's heavy duty, you know, cable, and the kids had fun drilling holes in the house and routing it through the different walls and the ceiling. But yeah, definitely the, you know, the heavy duty stuff. Because it's about a good 50 feet, you know, solid of cable. So I wanted to make sure it had enough to get all the way up there.
Nope, that's the right stuff to run. I don't really know the difference between KMR and LMR. I think, like you said, it is it's off-brand. I had, at my old house, I had the exact same cable. I bought it on Amazon. I don't know if that's where you got yours, but I had KMR 400. I had a 75-foot run from my basement to my chimney for my, I had a Diamond X50 up there, and that did all of my, my base station UHF VHF stuff, and I was able to, got from Armada, I was able to open the Detroit, repeater on the Renaissance Center, so, you can do a lot with a little on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, it's been a lot just figuring this amount out, and then to get into, you know, the HF is going to be a whole other can of worms. But and yeah, I've done a little bit on the digital stuff. Just kind of dip my toes in that. I got the Droid Star, and so that's been kind of fun playing around with that. Made a couple connections there. But yeah, I thought I would just keep it simple for now when I'm starting out with the dual band.
It's easy to get overwhelmed quickly with how much stuff there is to do. I've been doing this, I'm only on my third year, but I feel like I've been in a sprint the whole time trying all these new things, so I don't blame you at all, and I wish I had done something similar when I started, because I did burn myself out there for a little bit where I, had to take a break from radio. I mean, there were other life events that took place, but I was like, you know what, I'm gonna take a breather, and now I'm back in it, and I really thoroughly enjoy it, and appreciate it more than I did, so, but no, you're doing great, and good to meet you out here. It's always cool hearing about new hams, and hopefully we continue to get some more of them popping up on the air. I was just going to say, that, you know, the repeaters seem to be relatively active lately, so you're coming in at a good time.
KF8QL. Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Yeah, the I can't figure out this program to find out what frequency I programmed in there. Yeah, you know, I know you got kids, and that takes a lot of time. I can't imagine. I didn't do much when I had the kids. They're a little bit older now, and so I said, wow, they're all busy doing their own thing and driving, so I actually have a little more free time. And so that's kind of what I decided to do is pick up a new hobby. But yeah, well, you know, I get it. It's a lot with kids, so just glad you're hanging in there and don't let it, you know, or just make sure you renew it. But if you need a little bit of break to focus on kids, well, that's more important for sure.
NADBF, no doubt about it. You know, family first, right? But I think they're not older, but they're becoming self-sufficient enough that I can sit down at the desk and play radio for a little bit, or, you know, when the youngest one, who's about to be one on Sunday, you know, I can put him down for a nap and the big kids watch TV and gives me a little bit of time. So getting back into it slowly but surely. But yeah, like you said, as soon as this weather starts to turn, I plan on getting outside and doing a little bit more. But man, this morning when I woke up and I looked at my watch and it said -1 degree, I had no desire to go outside and do anything.
Yeah, I, oh, I found it here. Let's see. It says K8FBI Channel 24 is the 442.6 frequency. So I'm not sure where that one's at, but that's where I'm calling into. But yeah, so no, I'm not doing anything while this weather's this cold. But I did, speaking of getting other people involved, I got a buddy out there in California, and he's got the forest fires, and so I actually got him one of those bow things on Amazon. I had just had it shipped to his house, and I'm like, dude, you're out there, you know, like, this is perfect. You got a lot going on out there. You should plug this thing in and listen. And so hopefully he'll get a little inspired and maybe pick it up too, so... You know, that's the fun thing about the bow things is they you know, can get people, you know, gateway into bigger stuff. So, kind of hoping he picks it up.
I think amateur radio is pretty active out there, too, because the terrain, it's so easy to hit VHF repeaters, you know, 30, 40 miles away because it's all line of sight. But, yeah, especially with the state of emergency out there, I would 100% want a radio. That was kind of my school of thought getting into this. I'm not really much of a prepper, but I like redundancy and the ability to communicate if need be, and I know how fragile the United States infrastructure is in regards to power, internet, and cell towers. So having that in my back pocket was kind of like the motivating factor. That and my buddy who said that the test was hard and he couldn't pass it, I had to one-up him, so... I'm glad I did, and yeah, definitely if he's out there, I'd be monitoring whatever I could pick up just to see what's going on.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I was thinking, you know, it'd be kind of interesting and just, he'd probably appreciate it, but Michigan's a little quieter these days, waiting for that big storm, but I'm sure it'll come. But yeah, so, well, very good, well, very good. Well, look, I'll let you get back to it. I think you're mobile, and I'm just wrapping up work and gonna go look for food here. But you know, what? Where are you headed?
Yeah, I got the same mindset. I'm trying to get home and get some dinner in me. I'm northbound 53 right now, almost home. I got about another 10-ish, 15 minutes. I live out in Elmont, so I'm getting close.
All right, well, great to meet you, Dakota, and HDVF. This is KF8CUL, and Mark from Troy, and great meeting contact with you, and I'm sure I'll see you on the FBI repeater again here soon.
Yes, sir, it was good to meet you, Mark. Like I said, welcome to the hobby. Enjoy it. There's so many things you can do with it. And your station's sounding great, so I look forward to talking to you again. Like I said, we're usually hanging out over here, and don't be a stranger if you hear us. Don't be afraid to throw your call out. So have a good night, enjoy your dinner, and I'll talk to you again. 73 and 8 PDM.
Appreciate it. 73 here. 8CUL.
Good evening, Dakota from WARCY and KF8CUL. Mark, this is Don, W8RCY. You got a second?
Sure, yeah, this is KF8CUL. Mark, yeah, go ahead. What was your call sign again? Sorry, I missed it.
W8RCY. You and I have met at the Saturday morning breakfast gatherings up at the Cozy Cabin.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's right. Good to hear from you again, Don. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm retired, so I don't really do much anymore. But, you know, I heard you and Dakota talking about the K8FBI, and he was mentioning Sean, the guy who runs it. You may have met Sean because he's there on Saturdays with the breakfast group as well. He was sitting, I think, two chairs to your right when you were last there, and he's usually wearing an Ohio State sweatshirt, has his big black Russian fur hat on and stuff like that because it's getting super cold out. But that would be Sean, the person who kind of like oversees the FBI network.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, I did meet him, Sean. I think Lynn actually mentioned that as well, KDAFK. He mentioned that Sean was really the repeater guy. And, I mean, man, hats off to him and those like him that have that skill set. That is something special there to be able to have all that knowledge. So, yeah, very cool to have him part of the group.
Well, the majority of the people that put this thing together, I think you were mentioning Fred, you know, these guys are all in professional communications in one way or another. So amateur radio, GMR radio, it's a sideline hobby for them, and they just take their expertise and put it to good use in the hobby world, and that's why it's so successful and pretty much works flawlessly. But I just wanted to jump in and say, if you, you know, you're mentioning Sean with the FBI group, and I just wanted to put a face to a name in case, because you are new, and you know, there's a lot of, I mean, you've got 20 people sitting around a breakfast table. It's hard to put names to faces sometimes and remember everything. So I just thought I'd jump in there and mention that, you know, Sean is there, and he's very open. You know, you can sit down and pick his brain, and you know, he'll tell you anything you need to know, and he's a very reliable source.
Yeah, well, good. Well, thank you. Yeah, it's you know, getting to know the all the different people in the club. I was at the Hazel Park Library last night and got to, you know, put some new faces to names and see what that group has been working on. And so, yeah, it's great to meet all the community. And I think I ran into Bradley, and he was trying to do some, you know, outdoor events here once it warms up. So I'm sure I'll, you know, make some time to get more involved. It is tough getting up there, though, Cozy Cabin, that early in the morning for me. But, you know, I look forward to the coffee.
Yeah, copy that. I mean, I'm only about a little bit over a half a mile from there, so I got very ways. In the summertime, I've been known to walk it, so yeah. But yeah, it's just a nice place. It was closed for like 3 months due to an electrical issue when the power went out and the power came back on. I guess a massive surge of electricity went through it, and they had to do 3 months of extensive work to get it back open. But it's a family restaurant. You know, pretty much most of the people that work there are family. I mean, grandparents, you see those people working in the kitchen. You know, they're old enough to be our grandparents. Well, maybe not mine. My mom just died at the age of 98, 13 months ago. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, they could have closed. They could have retired, you know, but no, they fought to come back. And that in itself was a huge accomplishment. And we're glad they were back because we were trying other restaurants. We tried a couple other restaurants. And we were happy with the one we were at before this. But no, Cozy Cabin, we had to go back when they opened.
Well, good. Good to hear. Yeah, I'm up in Troy, so it's 15, 20 minutes to get there. But yeah, not too bad on a early morning, you know, weekend morning day. But yeah, it's good to meet everyone.
Okay, well, I will let you go. I just wanted to mention that Sean's there practically every Saturday, so unless he's got a commitment with his kids. But I just wanted to put the name to the face if you hadn't, you know, directly met him or put it with the FBI network and stuff. So now you got that connection. And like I say, yeah, it's good to have you on board. And we have a lot of people that have joined recently, you know, since most of the people I know took the test back on December 1st on a Sunday at a, I guess there was a small swap shop or something going on out in Troy. So that's how a lot of people got their licenses, like you and another person that was sitting at the table But, yeah, so, all right, I'll let you go. Have a great evening. Thanks for your time. Maybe we'll see you Saturday. If not, we fully understand because there's other commitments. And I won't be there the last two weekends of the month because I'll be out of the area, way out of the area. So have a good evening. W-8-R-C-Y, personal is Donald, and you have a good evening.
All right, Don. Well, thanks again. Great to, you know, hear you on this repeater as well. And, yeah, you have a good evening, and we'll see you around. W-8-R-C-Y, this is K-F-8-C-U-L, saying 73, and clearing the repeater for use.
K-8-R-U-H.
Mesh-tastics meeting, the clubhouse.
You know, I just had some nodes pop up on my exterior node, and it gave me a little bit of optimism, but I'm still pretty checked out on the whole thing.
I'm joking. I told them, you know, if someone wants to donate one, I'll stick one up in my attic or in my window, second story windowsill. Fill in the gap a little bit at M59.
Yeah, it might help, but I think the problem is the whole thing's a gap. It's like Swiss cheese. It's way too tightly knit of a mesh to be realistically usable, given our geographic location. We're all way too far apart. Even if we're only a couple miles apart, it's still too far apart.
There's the new 1-watt versions. The ones we have are 0.15, 150 milliwatts, because there's some 1-watt versions, and there's some high-gain antennas, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, right? Like, all these antennas are very compromised, and then we're pushing out next to no power.
Well, then, you know, apparently no one knows if it's coming in through the air or through MQTT or whatever, because, you know, people have it shut off and they're still getting stuff from, like, different states. So I don't know. I'm having a hard time trying to understand. If you turn off MQQ or MMQT, whatever it's called, why are you getting calls from out of the state?
I ended up factory resetting the only node I had set up with MQTT, and just for that reason, it was stupid. It was only set up for who cares, but then I could direct message someone in who cares, and it looked like it sent RF, it would say direct, but as soon as I turned off MQTT, it wouldn't deliver. So, yeah, the stuff's cool, but I'm not hooking it up to the internet. So all my nodes now, none of them are hooked up to the internet, and that's the way I'm going to keep it, because the MQTT, I think, is garbage.
I mean, I could see it working, like, in some areas where everyone's, like, a couple blocks away from each other, like in highly populated area. I don't know. I don't know what the use case is. I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I would think that it had to be, like, people, like, no more than, like, a half a mile apart or something.
Almost to 69. Yeah, that's what I said to show on the other day. It's for a college campus or a densely populated city, not rural city. Alright, you got it now?
Roger, W-8-E-A-P. Yeah, you're a little bit, at the end of the string there. I don't know if you switched over to the Romeo or if you're on the Romeo. I don't know. But, like I said, I don't really know enough about it. I know there's a lot of, I know it dominates all the discussions on Telegram. I know that.
Come on, Richmond. Richmond and Romeo are equally bad this far out, so I'll make this one my last. But, yeah, I don't know. It's cool in theory and concept, but if you touch an HF radio, it's like, well, I would rather play with that. So. All right, Eric, I'm going to clear out of here because I'm noisy, so I'll catch you on the gram.
Roger. Before you go, real quick there, what radio and antenna did you settle on, or haven't you?
I'm sticking with what I know works, and that's my 5100 ICOM and a 2x4.
Roger. Okay. Yep. You know, you could put a 2x4 on a walkie-talkie. I put an adapter on it, SO239 to SMA, and stuck it on my walkie-talkie. And man, it worked really great, but it's pretty heavy. All right, catch you later.
This is my final. You gave me an idea. I've got that 16-inch Comet SBB1 and a 239 adapter, so I might. I got an idea. I'll post it later. NADBF.
W8EAP.
ECKGO Mobile. ECKGO Mobile. KCKGO Mobile Monitoring. Wally out there. NEKPP, KCKGO.
KCKGO Radio Test Echo Mike.
KCKGO Mobile. KCKGO Radio Test Motorola 1212 KCKGO.
Now that's a fine sounding radio.
NEKPP. Yeah, I just bought a outlet plug and I've got my antenna connected and put a 20 amp fuse in it so I don't blow things up. Sounds really nice.
You're very good. You're going to use it as a base or you're going to mount it in something mobile?
It's currently sitting on my passenger seat.
That's a good place for it as long as you don't stop faster sudden accelerations or have a passenger or any of those other things. Marion tends to get kind of upset when she goes for a car ride and there's a radio sitting on the seat.
Well, I have to find a mount for it now and then start to put some cash aside.
There you go. Yeah, that sounds really good. You want to try something digital?
Yeah, do I got to go to the zone and go to travel or something like that, or just go up and down on the channel?
Go up and down on the channel. Look for one that says 5-1. NAKPP. I haven't said that yet.
KPK Joe. Okay, stand by.
23. Had to pick up dog food, got that, got the connector for the Motorola. Now it's just a little cruise. 26 in Gresham. Is this better, Wally? KCKJO, I'm moved over to Mount Clemens Remnant.
Whoever you're talking to is not on the repeater, so they must not have their offset set.
Talking about me, Sean? I went over to Mount Clemens. I didn't hear any kickback on it.
No, you are on the repeater, but whoever you're talking to is not. They must be Simplex on the output.
I think that was Sir Walter. I got his Motorola up and running. Be a cigarette lighter, of course, but it works.
Okie doke. But like I said, he's not on the repeater. So it's like your ghost talking. Just FYI. All right, I gotta get back to what I was doing.
73, enjoy a nice warm evening in the interior of your confined. KCKJO.
Well, I'm pretty proud of myself if I can carry on a QSO from over here without using a repeater. That's a pretty good little radio, Polly.
And I heard you, and then John says that I was talking to a ghost, so you might have said you might have been on an offset there. But yeah, I'm on my analog here, my Alico, and I got 51 programmed on the Motorola.
Yeah, I must have hit the wrong button on the little radio display because I saw the two little bugle bars and I thought, he's talking about me. I am the ghost. But I'm pretty proud of my little radio. If I can get you all the way over there, that's not bad.
No, not at all. You want to try keying me up on 51 since I'm up here in Linux now?
Okay. And AKPP. Let's try this. And I have no field goal fires up, so I should be using the repeater.
Hey, KPP, KCKGO. While he's still up there, hanging around somewhere. KCKGO Mobile Monitoring Richmond.
This is Alpha Delta 8 Foxtrot Kilo Leonard MS Knights.
How's it going? This is Kilo Charlie 8 Kilo Juliet Oscar KCKGO, and I'm in Richmond.
KJO in Richmond. We got a good strong signal over here on this side. I think you're coming into the Mount Clemens repeater. I don't think you get on there very often, but I had a scanning, so I caught your call out there. How you doing? This is Leonard.
I'm actually on the Richmond tower right now. I'm about 5, since I'm not too far from it. I don't see the reason to overmod when I don't need to. But heading home from work, just picked up a Motorola 4550, fell in love with it. So I'm bouncing all over the place on radio. I got kids going and one scanner. Oh, I got my mobile DMR, or my handheld DMR too. So I am enjoying myself.
I understand. I'm glad you are. Always nice to have new toys. Motorola always makes a good product. Sometimes a little expensive, but they do make almost a commercial product, so very good. And you're heading home. I assume you're out there, say Mount Clemens repeater, and you're only doing 5 watts, so you can't be too far from it. Back to you. This is Leonard.
Yeah, I'm actually on the Richmond tower right now. I'm on M19 in Beijing, so I'm a little bit too far off for the Mount Clemens tower, I think. I have to try to get out this way. So yeah, they just pop over to the Richmond one. But name is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike. Call sign Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Julian Oscar.
Yes, Tom. Okay, they must have a receiver out there in Richmond Tower, I guess. I'm not sure how they have that laid out. They usually hang out on the DART, the 146-64. And we do have a couple of receivers as well. Oh, very good. Well, your signal's good, and I don't know how much time you have on your ride home. Back to you, Tom.
I live in the next town north of Richmond, good old little town called Memphis. Nice and quiet. Home of the Saint. That's what it says. But then, it only takes me about, from Richmond up to my house, maybe 6 minutes total at 55 miles an hour. State-regulated speed, of course.
Of course. Well, when I was driving a semi, I drove out of Romeo and Clinton Township in that area. So I used to come back through the Blue Water Bridge. And so I'm a little familiar with the streets there. I've come to Richmond, I think, a time or two, and I think I might have made a pickup in Memphis at one time. So very good. You know, it's sort of interesting. You had Memphis, Michigan, you had Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm sure there's a few other states that have a Memphis. You used to always get a chuckle out of all the different towns and townships and the streets. They just take and scramble them all up, every state does, and pick out different names for them. You sure had to make sure you're going to the right address whenever you were set out to make a pickup or a delivery. So the number of times that guys have gone to the right city but in the wrong state, it'll make you laugh. But when you go to pay the fuel bill, it makes you cry.
Yeah, there have been occasions where I've gone to a customer site on the west side of Michigan. And I'm like, hey, this is Tom. I'm from so-and-so company out of Detroit. That's where I'm based. Actually, I'm based out of Auburn Hills. But they ask me where I live. I said, I live in Memphis. And they go, Tennessee? I go, no, Memphis, Michigan, over by Port Huron. And they're like, oh, we didn't know that town exists. I said, it's a city, but it's only 1 square mile. And it's split between St. Clair and Macomb counties. KCKJO.
ADH, back to you, Tom. I know there's a Detroit, too. It's not a big town, but it's, I'm trying to think where it's at now. But there's another Detroit. I don't know if it's Indiana or, it's one of the, I think one of the neighboring states. But anyway, it slipped from my mind at the time. But it's been a few years, about 10 years since I've been driving. Anyway, good to hear you, and I don't think we've talked before, but it looks like you've been around a while. KC8, that's a 10-year-old call sign, isn't it, Tom?
25. I've been an operator since 1998. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, and my VE was WBAE Walter.
Surprise, yeah, that's a while back. Well, very good. It sounds like you're making good progress with your stations and your mobiles and so forth, and you're having fun. That's the main part. Well, very good. And I'll let you go. You're just about home, probably. If you're that close, doesn't take you long to get back home from wherever your office is there. So I'll let you go and say 73 to you, Tom. Thanks for the shout out, And KC8KJO, this is AD8FK.
AD8FK, perfect timing, because, yeah, I'm just about to pull in front of the house. So it's A73T, sir. Always a pleasure talking to people on the radio. I'm always on here. They call me a chatty Cathy sometimes. So 73 to AK, whatever you said your thing was, Leonard. I'm sorry. It just popped out of my mind. From Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey on the side here. Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey.